from the South Point studio. The perfect blend of sports.
But I think the Niners are going to wear them down.
Detroit Pistons lost their 36 games.
Comedy.
See over under on that relationship lasting. I'm going to put mayo in the coffee.
Yeah. I am beautiful.
And a whole lot of Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh. Join Ryan McCormick.
That's at least two picks outside of our own in the first round next year.
For real.
And host Frank Nicotero.
I look at the clock. I go,
Watch Punchlines live at noon every weekday.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service. Bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Who is there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, t.org.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
Alrighty, good morning everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Friday. We welcome you to the show that we come from right here, the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at the studios of the South Point Studios streaming network on YouTube at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex here, and we're on Las Vegas Boulevard in your gaming capital. So we welcome you to the show, invite you to come on out and see us and join us here on the weekends, whenever you come out, and certainly each and every day on the Race Day Show here from the South Point Studios. And, of course, we have many different platforms as well. Not only are we on YouTube at the South Point Studios Network, streaming, but we also have our radio stations here, in case you're running around early this morning in Las Vegas. They are, of course, Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 FM. And, of course, all of our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world, .global, iPhone, Android, covered as well with your KSHP app that you can hear us and the YouTube app that you can see and hear us. And, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting as well. Simply put, however, wherever, whenever you get us, welcome to the show and welcome to this Friday show as we ramp up the weekend here in Las Vegas where it is hot. H-O-T, hot. Right now, outside, it's 83 degrees. We're going to get up to 108 today here in Las Vegas, and we are under another excessive heat warning. And when you get to the excessive heat warning, I say this every day, and I'm going to repeat it every day, because it's very important to know that when you're in excessive heat warning, you can't wait until you start getting hot and sweaty, because by that time, you're going to be overheating. You get dehydrated quickly. So just remember, if you're out in the sun at all today, out in the heat at all today, for any extensive period of time, and I mean extensive, like over a minute or two, make sure that you hydrate. Keep a lot of water around. Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. And, of course, dogs, pets, and the kids will have to stay inside because it's just too hot out there for them to stay too long. And, of course, anywhere you have elderly people, older people, and a lot of people who can't handle the heat, make sure you check on them. Make sure they're okay in this heat, that's for sure. That's 108 topping off today. If you're coming, deciding to come on out for the weekend, listening beyond Las Vegas, we'll be 100, and this will be the kind of weather we have all weekend long. We're going to top out at 109 tomorrow and 104 on Sunday. And so we're going to be between the 105 and 110 degree parameter right there here in Las Vegas. As far as around the country, well, all I can tell you is in Florida, in Miami, they are getting slammed, and I mean slammed with the capital S there with as far as rain. It's not only raining there on and off, but the rain is coming heavy and in buckets, cats and dogs, they're raining there. Now, right now, it's clearing out in Florida, but the damage has already been done. It's been flooding there for the last couple of days in Miami, and as you know, Gulfstream Park has canceled. They canceled Wednesday. They canceled yesterday. They've already canceled today. They had flooding in the barn area so bad that they had to evacuate 300 horses yesterday from some of the barns that were just underwater to the point where they had to get the horses out of there. And it's not going to drain off that easily there, okay? So although we expect they haven't canceled tomorrow, and they haven't canceled Sunday yet, but I got to tell you one thing right now. If it stays the way it is today, they will be canceling. But for now, they canceled Wednesday, Thursday, and today again. Gulfstream Park has canceled because of the flooding going on there in South Florida. It seems that the weather, as far as the conditions for the rain, the clouds have moved out. And as far as the rest of the East Coast, looks pretty clear. Way up in the Northeast, you got some clouds working there. And then, of course, the only other weather conditions would be, like in the plain states, etc., a little bit in New Mexico, Arizona border, and, of course, Utah, etc. Colorado is getting some action there as well. West Coast is clear. That's good because we've got racing at Santa Anita today. So the West Coast is clear and the Gulf Coast is clear. So pretty well for all the racing centers outside of Gulfstream's cancellation should be set and ready to go for racing today on this Friday. Taking a look at the weekend, we have the Pegasus. The name of the race is called the Pegasus there, and it's really a stepping stone. This is a prep race at Monmouth Park for the Haskell coming up. Don't confuse this with the Pegasus that runs in Florida. This is the NYRA Betts Pegasus Stakes. It'll happen on Saturday. We'll take a look at that field. A couple of horses that you remember that were dancing around the Triple Crown races, etc., the Kentucky Derby, are entered in this race. So you got several stakes races. You got four stakes races at Monmouth Park tomorrow. Jonathan Hardoon will be going over those four stakes races tomorrow for you on the show. And, of course, they're back racing at Aqueduct after the Belmont Racing Festival at Saratoga. Back in action today at Aqueduct. Belmont at Aqueduct. And coming up, they have the New York Stallion Stakes Series today. I believe it's the Kupakoi Joy Division today as far as that's concerned at the Big A. And tomorrow they'll have the Grade 2 Bed of Roses, a nice stakes race for 200 grand at 7 furlongs. So looking ahead to this weekend, a couple of key races I think that we could look at for further use for other stakes races down the road. And as far as Santa Anita will wrap up the Hollywood Park meet on Sunday. Santa Anita wrapping up the Hollywood Park meet on Sunday. And as you know, racing at that racing plant, Santa Anita, has started. It started the day after Christmas of last year. That run runs all the way through, and finally now we get to the end of racing at the Santa Anita racetrack proper. And then we'll take a small Los Angeles County Fair meeting at Los Alamitos, and and then on down to Del Mar. Same thing with the Belmont at Aqueduct. They're wrapping up Belmont at Aqueduct. We'll be going to Saratoga soon as well. So keep that in mind. Some of the big racing that's happening next week is not happening here in the United States. The big Royal Ascot meet is going on in England, okay? And that'll be, it starts on Tuesday. It goes Tuesday through Saturday. And there'll be 22 major stakes races at Royal Ascot next week during those racing days. And four of them will be Breeders' Cup Win and You're In races. Now, we know that FanDuel covers Royal Ascot. It's early in the morning, I know. But you should pay attention to those Royal Ascot races. It's great racing there, the premier meet in England, that's for sure. And a lot of the horses that will be competing at Royal Ascot will be making their way over here to the United States for the Breeders' Cup coming up later on this year. And, of course, Wesley Ward, an American trainer, always points towards the Royal Ascot meeting with his younger horses. It is said that Ward is going to be sending over something like 13 horses for the Royal Ascot meet. So we'll wait and see how potent his horses are there at that meet. So that's coming up, of course, next week. Santa Anita proper closes on Sunday, and we're back racing for a few more weeks there at Belmont at Aqueduct. All righty. Some of the other news of the day. Los Alamitos, again, will start on Saturday, the 22nd of June, and go to the 7th of July. Frankie Dettori will be racing at Saratoga, beginning on the Saratoga meet that opens on the 11th of July at Saratoga. Couple of jockeys that got hurt that are coming back. Jockey Luis Cardenas was injured at Saratoga back in 2021, and his goal is to return to racing this fall. So this kid has been off a long time, but he is determined to get back into action coming around this fall. Top jock at Evangeline Downs, Tim Thornton, who is the leading jockey there right now, one of the top jockeys on that circuit, was injured in a spill on the 1st of June, and it says that he's going to be out at least three more weeks down there at Evangeline Downs, in case you play the races there. Tim Thornton, of course, one of the top jocks, the top jock down there. All righty. We got Jonathan Nardoon on the show today, along with Richard Eng, John Lendo, of course, and Jerry J's Picks. And, of course, your racing menu will come up next. So without any further ado, we'll go to our first break on this Friday show, coming to you live and direct from the gaming capital, the South Point Studios streaming network at YouTube. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service. Bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Right back on the Race Day Las Vegas show for this Friday. And I guess Steve Asmussen's troubles continue as far as that judgment from Kentucky that has him paying almost $500,000 in back damages and wages to 163 workers for, well, a lot of money, that's for sure. And now it seems like he's already filed an appeal against that judgment for not paying the overtime, etc., and the damages. But now the New York Gaming Commission, which operates, of course, it's like a racing commission, the New York Gaming Commission is considering revoking Asmussen's license in New York until they get this whole thing figured out. So that kind of trials and tribulations for Steve Asmussen continues in New York now as well. All right, here's the racing menu of racetracks available today in the Racebook, simulcast centers, and racetracks around the country. Reminding you, as we always do, the first post times we broadcast on this menu each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone. So if you're in the Pacific time zone, like we are here in Las Vegas, These will be the first post times that roll out in your time zone. And they'll roll out the same right here in the Racebook here at the South Point. We are in the Pacific time zone. If you're listening anywhere else, and we know all of the platforms, we welcomed you at the top of the show, many different time zones, adjust to the Pacific time zone to whatever one you're in so you don't miss anything. Tweak it out so you don't miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad, okay? Here we go. We begin the menu with Laurel Park. Laurel Park has 9 races today. Their first post time is 9:25. 9:25 at Laurel today. And I do believe they don't have any carryovers at Laurel today. So, Laurel Park, first post time, 9 races, 9:25. All right, next up comes Delaware Park. Delaware Park has 9 races today. Their first post time at Delaware Park is at 9:30. Then we go to Belterra Park. Belterra Park has 10 races, 8 thoroughbred races. The last 2 races will be quarter horses at Belterra. And a first post time there at Belterra Park is at 9:35, 9:35 at Belterra Park. Then we go to Churchill Downs. Well, you know, they had that Twilight card yesterday. They're back with the daytime card today. Churchill Downs has 9 races. Their first post time is 9:45 a.m. Pacific time today. Their pick 6 jackpot carryover now stands at $184,344. $184,344 pick 6 jackpot at Churchill. First post time for their 9 races there is at 9:45 at Churchill. Gulfstream Park has been canceled. They would have been next, but they have been canceled. Flooding there at Gulfstream. No racing today. Belmont at Aqueduct. Back at Belmont Park at Aqueduct. And first post time there at Belmont at Aqueduct today is at 10:05. The stakes race today is the $150,000 Coupecoy's Joy Division of the New York Stallion Stakes Series. It'll be the 6th race on the card, 6 furlongs on the outer turf course for 3-year-old fillies. A field of 8 before any scratches in this race. Good competitive race, too. The 5-2 favorite there is Geopolitics with Joel Rosario aboard. That's the 6th race. Belmont at Aqueduct has 9 races, and their first post time is 10:05 at the Big A. Woodbine is next, north of the border. Now, Woodbine has a super high 5 jackpot carryover today of $264,354. Big bucks. Their pick 6 jackpot carryover, just $9,000. But their super high 5 jackpot carryover, $264,354. 8 races at Woodbine today and a first post time of 10:10. Then we go to Santa Anita, wrapping up the meet this weekend. Santa Anita, 3 more days left. Today, Friday, they have 10 races, and their first post time is at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock at Santa Anita today for their racing card. 1 o'clock, first post time at Santa Anita for their 10-race card. And then we go to the Northern California Racing Fairs. The Northern California Racing Fairs has started today. It's Pleasanton in Northern California. Just 6 races there at Pleasanton today, and a first post time of 1:45 at Pleasanton as they start the Northern California Racing Fairs today. Evangeline Downs has 9 races. Their first post time is 3:30 at Evangeline. Charlestown has 8 races. Charlestown's pick 6 jackpot carryover today, $42,190. First post time for 8 races, 4 p.m. Same deal with Prairie Meadows. Prairie Meadows' first post time for 7 races is at 4 p.m. 4 p.m. at Prairie Meadows. Their pick 5 jackpot carryover today at Prairie Meadows, $95,747. Prairie Meadows' first post time, 4 p.m. for 7 races. And then we have Emerald Downs. Emerald Downs has 7 races. Their first post time is 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock at Emerald Downs. I do believe they have a small carryover. They do. Their pick 6 carryover, a regular pick 6 carryover, $1,517, 7 p.m. first post at Emerald Downs today. That's the menu for this Friday. Now let's get out to Jonathan Ardoon standing by. And Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
I am doing fine, my man. A little hot outside, but nevertheless, it's nice out here. And at least we don't have any flooding like they got at Gulfstream Park. They just couldn't take all that rain down there. Wow.
We got a lot of rain in a short period of time, and everything is flooded there. I spoke to some people in Florida that live near the track. They can't even leave their house. So Wow. If they can't leave the house, they're not going to be able to race, that's for sure. I hope people are there to take care of the horses. I'm sure they had to evacuate some of them yesterday.
300 of them, yeah.
And, yeah, it's a tough situation, so hopefully it all works out. And now we're going to have to worry about, if you remember last year, all the cancellations due to the heat wave. Every day there was another track canceling because of the heat, but so far this year we've been good, but they're expecting some real brutal weather over the next week or so. So,
Jonathan, you cover the East Coast racing extensively. Luis Cardenas, he was injured in 2021 at Saratoga, and the injury must have been really something because he's going to try to get back to racing this fall in New York. Jeez.
Yeah, I remember the name. It sounds vaguely familiar. He may have even been a bug boy. I'm not quite sure, but he's been out of the game for a while, and obviously he must have sustained a very serious injury. You're talking about a couple of years off, Ralph.
Yeah.
Not an easy to come back from.
Now, we had a carryover in the pick six at Santa Anita yesterday, and the highest-priced winner in the pick six came in the last race, a $66 winner. When Charge for Gold went right to the lead in the mile turf race, and he was never caught, although they were getting to him at the end. My horse, Bada Bing, was rolling like like a runaway freight train, but just came up a stride short at the wire, so he kind of Bada Bonged me. But in any case, Charge for Gold won and paid $66. The other highest-priced winner on the card was $11.40. Of course, we had that free bingo square in the winner of the sixth race, the Bob Baffert $1.8 million purchase of Noonie, who ran off the screen in a very impressive effort in her debut as a two-year-old for Juan Hernandez, paying $2.40. But even at that, the pick six looked like it came up a little bit short. It only paid $16,351.60. I know they had a free bingo square there. But I guess when people were putting together the tickets, the last race was the most difficult among the handicapping, so maybe they took the all button in that race.
Everybody did that, I guess. I mean, you beat a short-priced horse in the first leg also. There was a big prohibitive favorite that Antonio Frasu was on. He got beat. He ran third. A lot of people singled that horse. You know, I guess you're right. I guess they did single the Baffert horse. We were talking about on the air yesterday. I personally didn't single him. It was a first-time starter. I used two in that race. I didn't think it was that easy, to be honest with you. I thought the payoff was a little short, to be honest with you, because if that horse didn't win the last race, they were paying $1,200 and $1,500. No real big payoffs with the exception of the winner.
Yeah, and that was a carryover as well into that pot. You know, in that race for two-year-old maidens, though, Noonie really, wow, that was even impressive when you thought the horse was the favorite in big deal. $1.8 million purchase, and they're trying to get their money back right away. She just cruised to an easy victory there. We'll see where she shows up next, but you look at her and you think about the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies down there at the end of the year, and certainly her name very well must come up at this point in time. The other two-year-old race of the day was the first race on the turf at 5 furlongs, and Doug O'Neill finished first and second with his horses. But the bigger priced, as they say a lot of times, the bigger price, the hidden entry won it, paid $21.20, and they were battling nose-to-nose to the wire. So, you know, O'Neill was on his way to the winner's circle anyhow when he finished first and second. That horse, Tis Happy. Juan Hernandez, by the way, won three races yesterday at Santa Anita and tightens up the jockey standings with Mr. Frasu as they make their way into the final couple of days. Frasu now has only one win victory ahead of Hernandez, so that'll be a nice little sidebar as they move through the weekend at Santa Anita.
Did he get shut out yesterday, Frasu? He may have got... No, I think he had a three-race lead going in, so...
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
he won... Frasu won the fifth race for Phil D'Amato, obviously on the turf, with the I Scream, You Scream at $5 even. Yeah, that was one of the favorites. And so, yeah, he did have a winner there. So, but it's going to be tightened up. It'll be a really nice... certainly finish for the jockey stands. I got to tell you, Kyle Frey is really having a hell of a meet.
He's hanging in there with the big boys. He doesn't get to ride for these big barns, Ralph. He doesn't have the Bafferts and the D'Amatos. You know, I mean, I guess he rides some races for them, But these other guys, you know, they're getting first call for top barns, and he really hung in there. He had a terrific meet.
Yeah, no question about that. And, of course, he was the pilot of that $66 winner in the last race at Santa Anita yesterday. And, by the way, just for an FYI, yes, Mr. Hardoon, you gave us a winner at Churchill Downs yesterday.
$6.02. Don't forget the 2 cents.
That's right. They're giving you the entire...
four late scratches in the race. I don't know why, but so that certainly hurt the price.
Yep, they give you every penny of your breakage in Kentucky. So Peak wins it for Corey Lannery, paying $6.02. And, yes, I really didn't understand why there were late scratches in that race, because the weather was just fine there at Churchill yesterday.
Yep.
But whatever the case may be, maybe it's the Heise vets is saying for some reason or another those horses couldn't run. Looking ahead to this weekend at Monmouth Park, that Pegasus seems that it's going to have at least a couple of horses that we could recognize.
Yeah, they have four big stakes there tomorrow, and we'll be doing them on the show like we do every Saturday. We try to get you the out-of-town stake races. They have a race in Monmouth Park, New Jersey, called the Naira Betts race, so that makes no sense, and they call it the Pegasus, so that's from Florida. It's like they took three racetracks and made it into one stake race.
Here's what you got in that race, and we'll go over this, of course, in Handicap tomorrow, but you got Tuscan Sky. Remember that horse, Todd Pletcher trainee. That horse was flirting with the Triple Crown at the Kentucky Derby. And Hades, who was a winner of a stakes race that was going for the Kentucky Derby, is in that race as well. So the big favorite, though, I guess, is Chad Brown's Domestic Product with Flavian Pratt aboard. But it's going to be an interesting and fun race.
It is. And they have a couple of turf races as part of those stakes tomorrow, and they're really very good. You have the Monmouth, the 11th race, which is a grade 3 full field there. Of, I think, 12 or 9 horses, and it's a pretty good betting race. So you have some opportunities tomorrow. We don't play the track often, but we're playing it tomorrow. We did the work for it. So with Gulfstream in doubt, why bother doing Gulfstream if they're not going to run, or if there's a chance they won't run? You know, I'll get Monmouth instead. So,
and, of course, you got the Better Roses, a graded stakes race out at Belmont at the Big A, grade 2 race. At 7 furlongs. So although this is not like the blockbuster weekend of a big racing card and a lot of big races, it's still a weekend where you can fish out and try to find some winners there, that's for sure.
Yeah, and they're using that race as a stepping stone to the Haskell, kind of like the Peter Pan goes into the Belmont. Well, they have this race that goes to the Haskell. It's also about the same timing in between races, so trainers like to use that race for horses that they plan on pointing towards the Haskell.
Yeah, it's a prep. And, of course, that's the Pegasus at Monmouth, a prep for the Haskell at Monmouth. All righty. Well, we got a nice winner yesterday, my man. What are we doing today?
All right, let's look at Belmont at the Big A. Look at the 7th race today. You have a field of 10. You have a late scratch in there of the 3, Boom Boom Thunder. The rest of them go. And I like the number 7 horse in here, Clancy Fancy, 4-year-old gelding from the Chris Englehart barn. This Englehart took over the training 2 starts back. He gelded the horse, and then he put in 2 big efforts sprinting on wet tracks. Gets a dry track today. Was against the track, actually, in both of his last 2 starts. Lane Luzzi aboard to ride. You're getting a juicy 12-1 on the morning line. I like number 7, Clancy Fancy, to upset and win today. 7th race. Out at Belmont at the Big A.
All righty, and in the 7th race again, the 7. Easy to remember, 7th race, the 7 at Belmont at Aqueduct, the 7, and a nice, juicy 12-1. Oh, my. All right, 7 and 7th at Belmont at Aqueduct. And I would imagine we're going to Santa Anita next.
Santa Anita, race number 9. Today, I believe they have 10 races on the card. They do. And I like the 9th race today. It's 6.5 furlongs down the hillside turf course. And the number 2 horse in here, Vit Talera, 5-year-old mare from the Marcelo Polanco barn. Tyler Bays rode last time out. She won coming down the hill. She's listed at 4-1 on the morning line. Either one of her last 2 races wins this race. Number 2, Vit Talera, 4-1 on the morning line, wins today's 9th race out at Santa Anita.
All right, 9th race. Yeah, 10 races today at Santa Anita. So they're stacking it up over the weekend. A special card yesterday on Thursday had 9 races. So before they head on out to Los Alamitos, I guess they're getting enough entries there to make a few more races. Certainly, let's see how that stacks up over the weekend. But today, with 10 races, you like the 9th race, and that's the 2, Vitalera. The 2, with Tyler Bayes aboard in the 9th race at Santa Anita, is your selection. And you have full sheets for Belmont at Aqueduct, Santa Anita, and at Churchill Downs today, right?
Correct. JONHARDOON.com. Thank you, Ralph. Stay safe. Be well. We'll chat tomorrow.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jonathan, and we will. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Okay, coming up next, Rich Eng. Looks like we're on the cusp of having winners in both the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup playoffs. We got two teams that have a 3-win edge in a 4-take-it-all type of situation. We'll talk to Richie about that and get a horse or two from him as well. Right after this, don't go away.
Who is there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, t.org.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB port to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
All righty, back on the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Friday, and now we go out to Rich Eng standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Well, we're on the cusp of having a Stanley Cup and an NBA Finals winner this year, huh?
Yeah, both series and the two sports are 3-0. The Celtics play game 4 tonight at Dallas, and they're favored by 1.5 to sweep the Dallas Mavericks. And last night in the Stanley Cup Finals, the Florida Panthers held on to beat Edmonton 4-3 in Edmonton, and they lead 3-0. So, you know, I think the ironic part about those two teams leading in the series is they were both of the teams that lost in the championship series last year.
Yeah.
The Florida Panthers lost the Stanley Cup Finals to our Vegas Golden Knights,
mm-hmm.
but they have come all the way back and look like they're on the cusp, as you say, of winning the Stanley Cup. Great bounce back. And the Boston Celtics last year, they lost to the Denver Nuggets in the NBA title, and they've come all the way back. So maybe whoever finishes second in the World Series or the Super Bowl, we'll take a look and see if they can win the title in their league.
Yeah, if they get to that point, that's for sure. But these are professional athletes, and they take a lot of pride, most of them, in their craft, that's for sure. And you got to think that over the off season in both of those sports, those players probably had a bitter feeling about losing the championships the way they did. And it was probably a lot of fodder for gearing it up for this year and trying to make it back to the finals and getting it done, don't you think?
No doubt that the motivation is something that professional athletes and actually athletes on all level try to generate to, you know, to during their training to keep up all the exercises, all the weightlifting, all the workouts to get ready for the regular season, and then to qualify for the playoffs and then win the title. So, you know, I'm sure the Celtics were motivated off the getting blown out by Denver last year and the Florida Panthers getting blown out by the Vegas Golden Knights. They spent the whole summer and fall getting ready to try to get back to the finals again. They both did. And, you know, now they're ready to win the title. You know, maybe in the National Football League, I know we haven't started playing any games yet. They're in training camp. But the team that lost the Super Bowl last year to Kansas City was the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. So, Ralph, maybe if the trend continues, maybe the San Francisco 49ers are the team to keep an eye on in the National Football League to try to win the Super Bowl, as they lost it last year.
Yeah, and I got to tell you that you know, the losing and having the off season to kind of fester over all of this stuff, that's for sure. A lot of bulletin board material for the locker room when they get back together, that's for sure. We'll wait and see there. Looking and now turning to horse racing, Richie, you and I have spent time and worked in places like Turfway Park, et cetera, in the Midwest there. And there are a lot of jockeys that are good professional riders that are kind of like on that circuit that really never get national recognition. But you and I both know and have bet on Perry Utz. And it seems that Perry Utz is now racing at Belterra, which is, you know, right across the river there from Turfway where we work. He won 3 of 4 mounts earlier this week at Belterra. He's winning at a 20% rate at Belterra. Really no big deal. He's had over 7,441 career wins. We know him well in that particular circuit. But this guy is going to turn 70 years old next month.
Yeah, I was going to say Perry was 69. He's going to turn 70. And, you know, going back to another lifetime for me, Ralph, when I took over the job as the PR director at Turfway Park,
yeah,
the top two jockeys at the former Latonia were Perry Utz and a jockey named Steve Neff. And I remember that Steve Neff retired, and I had to write a press release about his retirement when I interviewed him. Ralph, you'll get a chuckle out of this. I don't know if you remember, but
yeah,
Steve Neff retired from riding to take a job at Cincinnati Airport as a baggage handler.
Oh my!
And it shows you. Yeah, I mean, it shows you another era in sports and another era in society where he had a chance to make more money as a baggage handler at Greater Cincinnati Airport than riding horses at the former Latonia, which turned into Turfway Park.
I'm going to really test my memory now, but wasn't there a jockey by, I think it was James Bruin? Wasn't he one of the big riders there at Turfway when we were there?
Yeah, the first fall meet at Turfway Park, the top two jockeys were James Bruin and a fellow named Mike Smith.
Yes.
Mike Smith came down from Canterbury, where he was the leading rider at Canterbury at Shakopee, Minnesota.
Yep.
And he rode at Turfway. And I remember I was actually the person, Dick Cummings, nominated me to give him the jockey watch for winning the riding title.
Uh-huh.
So I still have that picture in my folder somewhere. But yeah, Mike Smith was the leading jockey that first meet at Turfway.
Yeah, that's for sure. But boy, Perry Utz is still riding and riding well. I mean, he's riding 20% there at Belterra, that's for sure. All right, well, back to taking a look. Do you think that the Celtics wrap it up tonight? Do you think that Dallas is just going to say enough's enough, let's play this game and go on vacation? Or do you think there's a little pride that they want to at least win one in front of the home crowd?
You know, it's a hard game to bet. I know the motivation is there for Dallas to avoid getting swept. And Luka Doncic, after game three, took a horrific beating in the media and also social media for his lack of defense. I mean, I know he scored a lot of points, but he was horrendous on the defensive end of the court. He got torched, quite frankly, the whole game. So he's going to be motivated. But you know what, Ralph? When you're down 3-0, I know you're going to give it your best effort, but if something happens during the course of the game and, you know, the Celtics open up like a, you know, 10 or 12 point run or something. Yeah. You know, sometimes you just might collapse. So it's not really a game I'd be looking forward to bet. Boston's favored by a point and a half. I'm just going to watch, and if the Celtics sweep, so be it. If Dallas forces a game five, then the Celtics can win the title in front of their home crowd at the Boston Gardens.
Yeah, that might be the impetus to get back to Boston, just so you can do it in front of your home crowd. But like you say, if they start on a run and it gets kind of ridiculous, Dallas will do what they say in the business is taking the air out of the ball, that's for sure.
Yep,
all right,
perfect.
Time to get started with the pick at Santa Anita. Talking about Mike Smith, he had a nice win yesterday on a Neil Drysdale horse, Fast Giselle, who won a 6-furlong turf race rather convincingly. Nice 11.40 payoff there, but Mike is still plying his craft in Southern California.
Yeah, we're talking about Perry Utes and Mike Smith from another era.
Yeah,
I don't know Mike's exact age. Maybe John Lindo knows, but Mike's going to be getting up there too if Perry Utes is getting up there. But Mike still can ride with the best.
Well,
as far as a horse today,
I know that Mike Smith, works out a lot. He's a big gym nut, so he's working out a lot. So he's staying very fit, that's for sure. All right, horse.
First race at Santa Anita is 6.5 furlongs on the grass. I'm going to go for a cutback horse who should be finishing. That's number 6, Safa. Thiago Pereira riding for Gary Studi. This horse ran in the Mel Air Stakes last time out and now cuts back for a condition race. So it's class relief. Let's go with the 6, Safa, in race 1.
All right, first race, 1 o'clock post time at Santa Anita Pacific time. In the first race, you like number 6, Safa. The 6, Safa, becomes a singleton in the early pick 5 for us here. In the first race, the 6 is Rich Ang's play for the Race Day listeners. Don't forget, you get the entire sheet, Richie's selections for today at Santa Anita right now at the RaceDayLasVegas.com websites. Well, Rich, it was nice going down memory lane with you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks. Good luck, everybody.
All righty. And when we come back, I'll give you Jerry J's selections and then John Lindo to wrap up the show, so don't go away. Still one more left to go.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service. Bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, back on the Race Day Las Vegas radio program. Let's give you Jerry J's power page picks for today. We will start out at Aqueduct, Belmont at Aqueduct. And at Belmont at Aqueduct, we're going to go to the 9th and final race for Jerry's selection. Remember, I am interpreting these off of his power pages. Jerry on sabbatical right now. In the 9th race, the pick is number 4, Miss City Girl. Number 4, Miss City Girl, 9-2 on the morning line with Flavian Pratt aboard. That is the pick. The link-ups include number 1, Savannah Dancer, a nice 30-1 shot, which is a V-horse on Jerry's selection sheet, and the 6, Louise Redemption, and the 12, Sunny Honey. So in the 9th at Belmont at Aqueduct, the 4 over 1, 6, 12, and of course reverse that as well. At Santa Anita, we go to Jerry's selection in the 7th race. In the 7th race, Jerry likes the 8, I'll Have Another Kiss. The 8, I'll Have Another Kiss, 4-1 on the morning line with Antonio Frisou aboard. The 8's the key. The link-ups will be numbers 2, Dendera, the 3, Ashley's Sandcastle, and the 6, Moments Pleasure. So in the 7th race, Santa Anita, the 8 over 2, 3, 6, and reverse. Jerry J's power pages for both Santa Anita and Belmont at Aqueduct available at his website, jerryjspowerpage.com. Now we bring in John Lindo. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine, my man. Some jaws dropped after that maiden that debuted, the $1.8 million maiden for Bob Baffert in the 6th race yesterday. Nooney was expected to win, but how she won was pretty impressive.
Well, she probably made a lot of quarter horses jealous the way she broke. I mean, she popped out of the gate and she was three in front and she never got out of second gear. So, you know, when you pay $1.8 million for a first year stallion who stands for $5,000, you know, she showed an awful lot down in the Salem, Florida. We'll see where she goes. She's obviously fast. Not much for her now until probably the Sorrento Stakes at Del Mar. I'm guessing probably the Sorrento Stakes and then the Del Mar debutante there at the end of that meet. And she'll get a couple of races over there, and we know where the Breeders' Cup is at this year.
Yeah, no question about that. That's for sure. I thought that in the seventh race, Fast Giselle was impressive on the turf as well there with Mike Smith aboard. Of course, that was a starter allowance race for fillies and mares, three-year-olds and up. But that was a nice win yesterday on the grass there.
Yeah, and that was different for her. She's been a filly that wants to be on the lead, and when they were able to cover her up, Mike kept her inside covered up behind horses. And when she angled out, she finished a lot better than she has. She looked good winning that race yesterday, and she's got some allowance conditions. And I think she'll handle five furlongs. It might be a little short for her, but I think she'll handle that trip at Del Mar. You remember the sprints at Del Mar on the grass are five furlongs only.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're because of the configuration of the racetrack, that's for sure. But all in all, pick six, solid price, $16,000 plus payoff, but looked a little bit short considering that it was a bomber in the last race.
Well, I just figured if the Bob Baffert horse wins, it's going to get hit, and it's going to get hit by multiple tickets because that looked like a universal single. And you know, just as a note, you know, Noni's win yesterday was obviously impressive, but her workmate is in today making his debut, and that's in the sixth race, number six, Midland Money. He's been working right with her in the morning, so you know he's just going to get hammered at the windows at post time.
Yeah, do we think that he is the same type of cut of the cloth as Noni is?
Well, she hasn't, you know, they've been working heads up. She hasn't put him away and buried him in workouts, so he's at least competitive with her, and that is probably all you need to be.
John, you reflected on the fact that Noonie, which was purchased for $1.8 million, comes from a first-year stallion that has a $5,000 stud fee. What, when you're taking a look at a horse, would possess you off of just the breeding, et cetera, and the economics of that, to go up as high as $1.8 million to get this horse? Confirmation, you know, mannerisms, well, what?
Obviously, she worked 20 and one-fifth for the quarter mile down there, so she has speed. She obviously must look the part. I mean, you're not going to spend that kind of money unless confirmation-wise everything's in the right place. But still, Ralph, for those kind of numbers for an unproven stallion, and it's not like she's a half-sister to four grade one winners. She's got some family, but nothing like what you think you would need to bring that type of a sales price. What you need are two guys with the endless pockets that that want that filly, and that's kind of what it turned out to be.
Oh, and probably a sliver of endless egos as well.
Some guys just don't like to get outbid. I mean, yeah. I don't like to get outbid, but I'd rather have the $1.8 million.
Yeah, I got to say that. That's for sure. Okay, I'm going to throw you a real curveball now. You ready?
I'm ready.
National Thoroughbred League. They said they're expanding. I have no idea. This National Thoroughbred, is this where you have a team of horses racing against another team of horses? I mean, concept?
That was the idea last year. They were going to set up divisions of stables at different, representing different cities, and race against each other in a team format. They were supposed to buy a bunch of horses privately and set up races around the country.
Uh-huh.
It never got off the ground like it was supposed to, Ralph. And you and I both know, okay, let's say you have a stable of six horses. What are the odds of keeping them all in training for a series of races over months and months of period of time? It's just not going to happen.
And, you know, this is our teams in our sport are the trainer, the jockey, and the owner. You know, it's not, you can't frame it in the same as teams like in the NBA, football, et cetera. And I just don't know if this is going to work, that's for sure. But they hustled a couple of celebrities to put up, a couple more million dollars to try to get this thing. I guess the first year was last year, but it was really, nobody even thought or talked about it that much. But they're going to try it again this year.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised they're going back at it, because I just look at the business model, and my opinion, Ralph, it just doesn't make any sense.
No.
I don't know how this works and how, you know, you see what the demand is for a good horse when you try and buy one. To buy them privately, there's a real premium. And so for all these, you know, if you're going to buy 36 horses for six apiece for six different states, you know, the outlay is going to be quite a bit of money, and the upkeep's quite a bit of money. And again, if somebody can explain it to me business-wise or it makes sense, I'd be fine with it. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, let's put that money into some extra things for the backstretch workers.
I agree with you there wholeheartedly, that's for sure. Now, just the thought, though, when these teams get together and they enter these races, no other horses that are owned by other people can get in there. Only the team horses can run against each other, right?
Exactly right, yeah.
Okay.
And so, again, that's gonna limit the field sizes. If you only have six representatives, you know, it's not a gambling race for the horse player.
No, not at all, that's for sure. But we'll wait and see. I like the fact that they try new things in racing, that's
sure.
for sure. But some of them just won't work. That looks like that might be one. Okay, we got a real good contest going on the last 3 days of the meet out at Santa Anita, the Hollywood meet, between Antonio Frasu and Juan Hernandez. Hernandez won three races. Frasu won one. That shakes out to Frasu now leads by one?
Yeah, I think it's now 30-29. Antonio Frasu is the leader. But we talked about these Bob Baffert 2-year-olds, and, you know, Juan Hernandez is going to be getting on those.
Yeah.
So I've got to figure he's got at least one live one today, and it'll be pretty tight this weekend. We've got 10 races today, 11 on Saturday,
hey.
And 12 to finish off the weekend.
10, 11, and 12? Wow, that's great. And, you know, for the most part, I know the some of the fields are still short, and of course, when they get to those maiden races for 2-year-olds, you got to get around Baffert and his big high-priced, royally bred horses. But there's a lot of good competitive races yesterday and again today. So it's kind of fun to watch at least the end of the Hollywood meet at Santa Anita, where you pick up a couple of extra races going into the weekend, and they're competitive events as well.
Yeah, and, you know, full use of the turf course, because there's no reason to save it now. You've got a little break coming up. So I think five or six races on the grass each day.
All right. Well, John, let's get started with the winner today. I want to remind everybody, John Lindo's Lindo Report for Southern California will be all weekend, and as is every Southern California racing day. But the Lindo Report for today, Friday, is available right now at the Racebook here at the South Point. This is the only place in Las Vegas you can get the Lindo Report, and it is free of charge, complimentary to you here at the South Point Racebook, because they love horse players. And they love John Lindo's report as well. John, what are we doing today?
Let's go to race five at Santa Anita. In the fifth race today, number eight, Heart-Headed from the John Sadler stable. Been overmatched in some stakes races lately. Drops into a starter allowance spot where he's going to be a lot more comfortable. Only race with Lasix resulted in a win. He gets the Lasix back today. He ought to fall into a good trip just stocking the Pace is the horse right inside of number seven, Nesso's Last Hurrah. So I think a stock and pounce trip here, 3-1 on the morning line. Let's see if Heart-Headed can bounce back today, race five, Santa Anita.
All right, in the fifth race today at Santa Anita, John Lindo's play is number eight, Heart-Hearted. The eight, Heart-Hearted, at 5-1 with Juan Hernandez aboard, fifth race at Santa Anita. So between you and Richie, you gave us bookends in the early pick five. Fifth race, you like the eight. At Santa Anita. And I guess one quick note, one of the most traditional races at Santa Anita over the years is always the San Juan Capistrano. It covers the entire mile and three quarters of the unique hillside and infield turf course at Santa Anita. That'll run on Sunday, and it has a six-horse field there. And I always like to see that race at the end of the year. It's always nice and competitive, especially using the entire turf course. Just watching them come down the hill and then have to loop the inner course once before the wire.
Right. It's not the prestigious race it used to be, but it's still one of the most beautiful races they have in the United States. It's going to be a gorgeous weekend at Santa Anita. You get to see the full tour of the layout. And yeah, it reminds me of George Royal coming down there with Johnny Longden on his last ride. So,
boy.
Yeah, good memories for me in the San Juan Capistrano.
No question about that. And, of course, it's a turf race, which means Phil D'Amato has a horse in the race, an Irish bet, so we'll have to take a look at that horse. In any case, that's Sunday. We got a lot of action before then, and we'll be back tomorrow morning with our Saturday show. In the meantime, I want to wish you out there, stay hydrated out there. If you're listening here, stay hydrated, because it's going to be extremely warm here. And, well, John, you have the last say, so go ahead and say it.
Have a great race day, everybody.
It's Ralph Serrato at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.gov.